you're on the next step. Normally it's 10 to 12 on Saturday nights, and it will be. This is more of a rehearsal called Handcuffed Flowers. And we're going to see what kind of forward progression can be made with the past.
Impavidamente osata, vissuta, voluta, creare vivendo, talvolta contraddirsi, affermare, lanciarsi, battersi, resistere, riattaccare, lanciarsi di nuovo, indietreggiare mai, marciare, non marciare.
Most of the trouble in this world has been caused by folks who can't mind their own business, because they have no business their own to mind, any more than a smallpox virus. A virus is an obligate cellular parasite, and my contention is that what we call evil is quite literally a virus parasite occupying a certain brain area which we may term the right center. The mark of a basic shit is that he has to be right. And right here, we must make a diagnostic distinction between a hardcore virus-occupied shit and a plain, mean, no-good son of a bitch. Now, some of these sons of bitches don't cause any trouble at all, you just want to be left alone. Others cause minor trouble like borrowing fights and bank robberies. To put it country simple, Harry J. Anslinger disease was an obligate shit. Jesse James, Billy the Kid, and Dillinger were just sons of bitches. Now, victimless crimes are the very lifeline of the right virus. And there is a growing recognition, even in official quarters, that victimless crime should be removed from the books or shut up anywhere.
While the message is recorded,
those individuals
so
who cannot or will not mind their own business, cling to the victimless crime concept, equating
crimes with sexual
behavior
with robbery and murder. It is received by the brain and has an impact.
Recognize
music recorded over the supplemental message at least 1 hour a day at your convenience. Recorded over the supplemental message at least 1 hour a day at your convenience. It isn't necessary for you to concentrate on the music. You should feel perfectly free to go about your daily activities as long as you can hear the recording clearly. As long as you can hear the recording clearly.
Homosexuality is an abomination to God and should never be recognized.
Subliminal message at normal volume.
Walking corpse, said a St. Louis matron poisonously. Years later, Kim settled that account. When informed of her death, he said, it isn't every corpse that can walk, hers can't. The boy is rotten clear through and he stinks like a polecat, Judge Ferris pontificated. Well, this was true. When angered or aroused or excited, Kim flushed bright red and steamed off a rank, ruddish animal smell. The child is not wholesome, said Mr. Kindheart with his usual restraint. Kim remembers his father's last words. No mistaking that gray shadow moving up the face as the gray lips move. Stay out of churches, son. And don't ever let a priest near you when you're dying. All they got a key to is the shithouse. And swear to me you will never wear a policeman's badge. Kim decides to go west and become a shootist. If anyone doesn't like the way he looks and acts and smells, he can fill his grubby peasant paw. Kim's training as a shootist begins. He meets a wise old assassin, Whispering Cass Mayfield. Uncle Cass, this is Kim Carson. The old man spoke in a dead, dry whisper. Your hand and your eyes know a lot more about shooting than you do. Just learn to stand out of the way. Now his eyes, old, unbluffed, unreadable, rest on Kim as if tracing his outline. City boy, did you ever see a dog roll in carrion? A Yes, sir, I was tempted to join him, sir. Did you ever see a black snake pretend to be a rattlesnake? Yes, sir. He coiled himself up and vibrated the tip of his tail in dry leaf. Brrrp. Jim, if you had your choice, would you rather be a poisonous snake or a non-poisonous snake? Poisonous, sir, like a green mamba or a spitting cobra. Why? I'd feel safer, sir. And that's your idea of heaven, feeling safer? Yes, sir. Is a poisonous snake really safer? Not really in the long run, but who cares about that? He must feel real good after he bites someone. Safer? Yes, sir. Dead people are less frightening than live ones. It's a step in the right direction. Young man, I think you're an assassin. Kim makes his bones. As soon as Kim walks through the swinging door, he knows this is it. Two men at the bar by the door. One is tall and thin with a dead, sour, wooden face. The other tall and fattish and loose-lipped with lead-gray eyes. They fan out, blocking the door. Loose-lipped smiles, showing his awful yellow teeth. Now, I don't like drinking the same room with a fairy, do you, Clem? Can't say as I do, Kay. They want to bat it around for a while. Kim doesn't. I don't want any trouble with you, gentlemen. Just let me buy you a drink. Kim is still talking as his hand sweeps down to his belt and up. Smooth and casual, as if he is handing Clem a visiting card and shoots him in the stomach. Clem doubles forward and his false teeth fly out, snapping in the air. Clem's 45. Barely clear of the holster, plows a hole in the floor. Kim pivots, both hands on the gun, and shoots Cash in the hollow of the throat. The heavy slug tears through and spatters the wall.
When I became captain of the town, I decided to extend asylum to certain citizens who were persona non grata elsewhere in the area because of their disgusting and disquieting forms. One was known as Spare Ass Annie. She had an auxiliary hole in the middle of her forehead like a baneful bronze heart. Another was a scorpion on the neck down. He had retained the human attribute of voice and was given the revolting paroxysms of self-pity and self-disgust, during which he threatened to kill himself by a sting in the back of his neck. He never threatened anyone else, though the sting would have caused instant death. Spare ass hand. Another and by far the most detrimental, like a giant centipede, but terminated in human legs and lower abdomen. Sometimes he walked half erect, his centipede body swaying ahead of him. At other times he crawled, dragging his human portion as an awkward person. He was known as Centipede because he was continually making sexual advances to anyone he could call. And anyone who passed out was said to wake up with Centipede in his bed.
Impregnated with smallpox.
One degenerate hermaphrodite known as Fish Cunt Sam claimed he was the best lay in town. Besides, he's a perfect gentleman in every sense of the word. He's kind and good, which means nothing to the likes of you. Spare ass end.
Of course, much part of the West is the landscape, but Jim never really.
These creatures had developed in the region, but the priests carried out strange rites. They built boxes from moist, fresh bones, healthy ewes, captives from neighboring tribes. Pregnant women were placed in the boxes and left on the peak for a period of 3 hours.
He did eventually break one peak.
Often the women died, but those who survived usually produced monsters. The priests considered these monstrosities a way of humiliating the human race before the gods, in the hope of diverting their anger.
Hated their hysteria, their stubborn malice, and their awful yellow
women gave birth to the most monsters.
Shoot out in front of the dead ass rooms, the dusty noon street from nowhere to nowhere, lead flying all over the set. My faithful cayuse at my side. Then he hits me from behind, striking out with his front hoofs. I roll, twist, and put a quick shot into his ribs from below. He screams like a woman spitting blood. Bullets fly all around me, can't hit because of the prancing, screaming horse. Then he bolts straight for them, and they're all shooting at the horse, and I take them out easy and breezy. Percussion launch days had to grease the bullets. Otherwise, all six cylinders are subject to go up in your face. They killed my old strawberry kin, told the reporter, and there were tears in his eyes. Not ashamed of it. Kim has no shame. I guess there's just so much hurt and pain a man can take. That was my last cayuse. After that, it was use him and leave him. That fucking strawberry was a good horse if there had been somebody there to shoot him every day of his life, Kim thinks. Kim recruits a band of flamboyant and picturesque outlaws called the Wild Brutes. There's a crying gun, breaks into tears at sight of him. What's the matter? Somebody take your lollipop? Tom said, you're right, I'm sorry for you. A priest who goes into a gunfight killing his adversary the last rites. A blind gun, heroes in the fat streets. And the famous shitting sheriff turned out. At sight of his opponent, he turns green with fear and sometimes loses control of his bowels. Well, there's an old adage in showbiz. The worse the stage fright, the better he performs. Kim trains his men to identify with death. He takes some rookie guns out to a dead horse, rotting in the sun, eviscerated by vultures. Kim points to the horse, steaming there in the noonday heat. All right, roll in it. What? Roll in it like dogs of war. Get the stink of death into your chest, your boots, and your guns, and your hair. Well, most of us puked at first, but we got used to it, and vultures followed us around, hopefully. We always ride in a town with the wind behind us. Wheeling cloud of vultures overhead, beak slapping. Townspeople gag and wreck. My God, what's that stink? It's the stink of death.
Cupboards are bare, but the streets are paved.
First, you had to get yourself mummified, and that was very expensive.
I saw a young girl
taking immortality and the knockout.
I saw a glimmer from in her eyes. I saw a distance.
Yes, paradise was entirely contingent on the continued existence of your mummy. That is why they had their mummies protected by
I died and went.
roads are bare, but the streets are paved with gold. And all the lights were turned down low, and no one wondered where I had to go.
Policy, present directive advocate containing the animal wine, singing waiters, mustache peaks and button men, wallowing on their filthy mattresses. Let them burn each other's olive oil, throw dead rats into rival pasta vats, and murder each other with impunity. A similar policy was advocated by a wise anthropologist with regard to feud killings and head shrinking among the Jibaro Indians of Ecuador. He recommended that no attempt be made to control or sanction feud killings of other Jibaro. He concluded his report, they have nothing else to do, and their culture would languish without the sustaining preoccupation of feuding and head shrinking. A trembling waiter serves a table of rival guns. They spit clan spaghetti into his face. That isn't our pasta. They ball up wads of spaghetti and shove them into the mouths of the terrorized uptown diners. They storm into the kitchen and overturn cauldrons of spaghetti. The cook sobs, head in hands, mia spaghetti, mia spaghetti. The insult must be revenged a la siciliana. I'll Santa his Lucia, growls the offended capo. Hitmen impersonating singing waiters invade the Santa Lucia restaurant. They bellow out Santa Lucia's. They slop boiling minestrone over the diners and throw spaghetti into the air like streamers. Our policy, then, has been to contain the honored society into self-decimating urban concentrations and to head off any legislation aimed at making liquor, gambling, drugs, and private sexual behavior illegal, thus opening the door to a flash of gold teeth and an evil belch of garlic. Now it seems we must teach them to stay on their own side of the fence. The hospital lavatory has been locked for 3 hours solid. I think they're using it for an operating room. Nurse, I can't find her post, doctor. Dr. Benway. Cardiac arrest, goddammit. He looks around, picks up a toilet plunger, advances on the patient.